Last winter, I got addicted to a show called Alone from the History Channel. Any of you familiar with that show? It's where they take 10 people and they drop them off in the middle of the wilderness, their own plot of land, and they only get to take with them 10 items, and they have to survive all alone, and they stay as long as possible. Whoever stays the longest and is the wellest at the wherever the longest is, they win, okay? The only connection that they have to the world is a satellite phone, and if they use the satellite phone, they're out, okay? So they give up when they're no longer alone. And as I watched, binge-watched season after season after season, because you know you can do that, it was really surprising to me because most people didn't quit over their physical weaknesses. They didn't quit because they fell and they broke their leg or they got hurt. The vast majority of the contestants in that show were overwhelmed by isolation. They were overwhelmed by perceived anxieties that were going around and going on around them and circumstances and all the what ifs. And so physically, mentally, and relationally isolated and overwhelmed, they would pick up that satellite phone and in tears cry out for rescue. Now, you don't have to live very long on this earth to experience the feeling of isolation and overwhelm, do you? And maybe it's not to that extreme, but certainly those feelings can be that extreme. When you're forsaken by a friend or a spouse or a family member or a mentor or even an employer, when death removes a friend, a spouse, a parent, or a close confidant, when moving to a new location or going to a new job or even going to a new school, when facing an illness or getting a report from a doctor, or let's be honest, when you just get wrapped up in your own mind, in your own self-consuming, the feeling of isolation and overwhelm is real, but it's also crippling. Psalm 61 was written for such a time as those. It was written for those times when you feel isolated and you are overwhelmed. Psalm 61 was written to lead you to sing God's faithfulness through those feelings, whether they are real or whether they are perceived, so that you can experience God's strength and God's hope because God is faithful. And Psalm 61 reminds you that God is faithful even through the feelings of isolation and overwhelm. And that's really the big idea of Psalm 61. God is faithful, God remains faithful, and His faithfulness does not stop just because you feel isolated, just because you feel overwhelmed in your circumstances. And so this morning, I want to look at Psalm 61, and I'm going to read it out loud for us, but as I read, I want you to listen for what David asks for as he feels isolated and overwhelmed. Would you stand out of respect for the reading of God's Word if you're able? As I read Psalm 61, and I'll read it in its entirety. This is a psalm of David where David writes this: "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows, for you have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day to day." Heavenly Father, I pray that you would encourage us this morning. I pray that for those who are here or those who are listening, and maybe they have this emotion right now, and they do feel all alone, they feel isolated, they're overwhelmed by their circumstances, they're insecure in themselves and in what's going on around them, I pray that this would be a help to them. I pray that your word would truly minister to them. I pray for the rest of us, may we take your word and put it in our pocket, so to speak, so when these emotions arise, we may look back and we may find and see and experience your faithfulness in our own lives. And so, Lord, lead us as we study your word. Help us to apply it. Help us to understand it. Help us to live it out faithfully. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The Psalms were written to point us to God's faithfulness in our ever-changing circumstances and emotions. They teach us to rest in God through the good, through the bad, and even through the ugly of living in this sin-cursed world with this sin-cursed body. Psalm 61 was written for a time that is not so good. It's to be sung when you feel isolated, when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel vulnerable. And it's to be sung to remind you that God is still faithful. And whether that foe is real or perceived, whether you're in the right mindset, you might say, or not, Psalm 61 objectively is able to balance your life, to center your life on who your God is over who you are. Because your God is faithful. Now we see in the superscript that David is noted as the author. It doesn't tell us when David wrote this, so we don't know the exact circumstances or experiences, but clearly he feels isolated, right? In verse number one, he says here, verse number two, from the end of the earth I call to you. This is an idiom, a Hebrew idiom or a poetic tool that says, I feel like I'm in the farthest reaches of the wilderness. I'm alone. There's nobody around me. Furthermore, David is overwhelmed. He says here, my heart is faint in verse number two. This is another idiom that means that He's weak in his mind and in his resolve. Again, we see from verse number two that the experience that David has right now is that he is feeling isolated, he is feeling overwhelmed by his circumstances. Now, don't those two things often go hand in hand? Often when you are isolated, you feel overwhelmed, and often when you are overwhelmed, you feel, I'm all alone. And they just end up being this vicious cycle that feed on one another. And the more you feel alone, the more you feel overwhelmed. And the more you feel overwhelmed, the more you think, oh, I'm all alone. And it just keeps going, you just keep digging a deeper and a deeper and a deeper and a deeper pit. And those feelings of, I have nobody to turn to, only heighten our weaknesses. And really, all of that sets the course to what we would call despair or maybe even depression. What did David do in that moment? What can you and I do when we just keep digging that pit of depression or despair? We can sing Psalm 61. We can look to Psalm 61, and David shows us how he rested in God's faithfulness in four ways. And he begins by praying to God to help him. Likewise, when feeling isolated and overwhelmed, rest in God by pleading for God's leading. Plead for God's leading in your life. Look at what the first request here in verse number two he says. He says, lead me. Lead me. David recognized he didn't know what to do or where to go. So he cries out and he says, God, I need you to lead me. I need you to show me. I need you to guide me. Where do you turn when you don't know where to go? I hope it doesn't start with an F as in Facebook or a T as in TikTok. Or is X as in Instagram, or not Instagram, I'm sorry, Twitter, or Instagram, or any other social media platform, okay? We're going to get into more of that here. Plead with God to lead you on where to go. David says, lead me, God, to the rock that's higher than I am. And this rock here is a military imagery of an outpost in the wilderness. But it's secure because of its construction. It's made of rock. And guess what is a great security when you might have real enemies around you? Rocks. Rocks are really good. But also, it's elevated. He says it's higher than I. In other words, it's higher than its surrounding area. Now, there's debate as to whether David is, this is a literal request or if this is symbolic. I take it as symbolic because of so much other symbolism within this psalm. I don't think he's under physical oppression or attack. I think he just, it's his emotions are getting the best of him. And he says, my emotions are like those blow up things in front of those stores that are like, woo, you know what I'm talking, what are those called? Anybody? No? What Jonathan said, Rocky waving inflatable tube something. Okay. Right? How many of you your emotions can get like those things in there? I mean, they are just all over the place, right? And what you need is you need security, you need stability, you need a rock to stand on. He needed a secure, strong place because he was vulnerable. And so where does he turn? He says, God. I turned to God. But why? Why does he turn to God? And this is important. This is important. Verse number 3. He says, you have been. You have been. Which means, I'm looking in the past objectively. And this is what actually, factually, in reality took place. You have been my refuge in a strong tower. You see, David goes to God because when he looked in the past, he saw God had led him in the past. God had been his refuge in the past. God has been his strong tower against his enemies in the past. God hadn't let David down in the past. So he says, I'm going to go where I haven't been let down. God's past provision had empowered David's present plea. God had been faithful. Likewise, Christian, when you are feeling insecure, when you are feeling isolated, when you are feeling overwhelmed by your circumstances, plead with God to lead you to a place of security, to a state of security. Plead in prayer simply for the next right action to do or word to say. It begins with the next right thing. Plead in prayer for godly wisdom and godly discernment in that setting and circumstances. Plead in prayer for the right mindset to be able to understand and discern what's going on. Plead in prayer that God would bring to your mind his word. Plead in prayer for an attitude of humility. Plead in prayer for an ear to hear, an eye to see all of God's goodness around you. Plead in prayer for a spirit that's willing to submit to God's word, to God's will, God's way, and to God's wisdom. Divine security and strength is never sourced from within yourself. Divine security and strength is always sourced from God and from his word, which tells you his will, which explains his way, which reveals his wisdom. Plead with God to lead you. Now listen very closely. One of the worst things that you can do, kids, one of the worst things that you can do when you are overwhelmed and insecure is to follow your heart. Don't do it. One of the most dangerous things that you can do when you feel all alone and overwhelmed and insecure is listen to what you're telling yourself. One of the worst things that you can do is lean on your own understanding. I want you just to consider this. In those moments of overwhelm, how objective are you about your circumstances? In moments of insecurity and isolation, how prone are you to write a pro and cons list? Are you prone to be factual? Are you prone to be impartial? Maybe you're stronger than me, but if you're like me, my thoughts and my acts are subjective. They're self-centered, they're self-serving, and they're driven by emotions. And I will tell you that they have always led me to harm in one way or another. We need a solid foundation in these moments, one that is factual, one that is objective, one that is purposeful. And so plead with God to lead you and to lead your thoughts, to lead your words, to lead your actions, to be higher than you can on your own, to be more objective than you can on your own, to be more factual than you can on your own, to have more purpose than you can on your own. God, lead me to your security. And by the way, there's no greater place of security than in the presence of God. And so therefore, David goes on and he says, God, permit me into your tent. Christian, when you are feeling isolated and overwhelmed, you should be resting in God's presence. You should be resting in God's presence. Notice what David says here in verse number 4. He says, let me dwell in your tent forever. Now, the tent here refers to the tabernacle or the tent of meeting, right? From Moses all the way up until Solomon, God was worshipped in the tent of meeting or the tabernacle. Solomon, David's son, then built the temple where God resided. Poetically or symbolically, however, throughout the Old Testament, when the tent is used, it's used to mean in God's presence. God, I want to be in your presence. I want to be in your protective space. I want to be where you are at. And this is only reinforced by the second analogy. He says, under the shelter of your wings. And so David says here, God, let me be in your presence, because if I'm in God's presence, I'm going to have protection and I'm going to have security. Likewise, Christian, after pleading for God to lead you, rest in God's presence to be upon you. Now, as New Covenant Christians, you don't have to go somewhere to have God's presence within you. You see, we have this awesome New Covenant fulfillment where God's Spirit dwells in you. The New Testament teaches that God dwells in every Christian, in every person who has confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've put on their sin to Jesus, and they've taken on Jesus' righteousness. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, do you not know you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? So when you feel isolated and overwhelmed, the question is not, where do I have to go to get to God? The question is, am I yielding and am I submitting to God's presence within me? Am I fully receiving Him and His influence to the utmost? Because you see, as far as it depends upon God, the Bible tells us He is fully indwelling you. As far as it depends upon God, you cannot get more God in you. Yet through human will and through human freedom, the Bible also teaches that you can reject and you can diminish His influence in your life. The Bible teaches us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit which has been given to you. So for the Christian who's walking through insecurity, who's walking through overwhelming circumstances, resting in God's presence is going to require rejecting and diminishing self-will, self-esteem, self-security, self-affirmation in order that you can rest in God's presence who is within you. And it requires giving into the Spirit's prodding and the Spirit's moving in your life. It's being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 commands us, be filled with the Spirit. Now, being indwelt and being filled can somewhat be confusing, and so I'd like to illustrate it this morning. I need two volunteers to help me. So, if I can have two volunteers, anybody? Okay, Jonathan and Evan, that's great. Okay. So, Evan, why don't you stand over here? Okay, this is your cup. Okay. There you go. And it's a little heavier, so just go ahead and put water in your cup. Whatever you want. All right. Evan, I'm going to help you, bud. Set it down. You put however much water you want in your cup. You got it? All right. Perfect. Okay. So, Jonathan, what's in your cup?
Water.
Okay. Evan, what's in your cup?
Water.
Okay. Is your water the same as Jonathan's water? No? It's not the same? Or it is the same?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Did it come from the same source?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so it's the same water, right? I didn't take from two different sources. It's both from the same sources. How much, Jonathan, of your water is actually water?
All of it.
All of it, okay, right? It's all H2O. How about Evans? How much of his is water? Right, it's all water. Is there really any difference in the chemical makeup of your water and his water? It's all the same, right? It's all filled with the same attributes, the same source. One has more water in it, though, right? Evan, why does yours have more water in it? Because you put more in it, right? You chose to have more water in it. Likewise, all Christians are indwelt by the same Spirit. They all have water. They all have the Spirit of God in them, okay? However, how much Spirit within them is based on the choice. The choice of dying to self and submitting to God. And based upon that choice is the measure of Spirit, the measure of filling that you have. The Spirit's qualities are the same. There's no difference in the two. It's simply a matter of choice. Thank you, guys. You guys can go have a seat. Few more thoughts on this. Now, if you're dehydrated and you need water, which of these glasses are you going to pick? The full one, or the fuller one, right? The more water. If you're isolated and overwhelmed by your circumstances, whose will ought you pick? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Do you see where I'm going with that? See, the attributes of God within every believer are the same. The Spirit is the same. Each one of you doesn't have more God than another, just like these cups don't have more H2O in them of the substance. It's a matter of what's filling them most. And so when you're isolated and you're alone, the last thing you need is to listen to yourself. The last thing you need is to lean on your own understanding, your own worldly wisdom, or other people's worldly wisdom. The thing that you need most is God's wisdom, which is found right here in God's Word. And spiritual filling is always linked to yielding my will to God's, submitting my will to God's will, and obeying God over obeying my own desires. And so when I'm isolated and I'm overwhelmed, submitting to the Spirit's influence and leading in your life is paramount to getting out of that despair, that depression, that overwhelmed feeling, that isolation feeling. But you need to also remember this too. The Spirit will never lead you in a way that contradicts Jesus, will never lead you in a way that contradicts the Father, will never lead you that contradicts the Word. By the way, who led men to write the Word of God? The Holy Spirit did, the Bible says. So God is not going to contradict himself. The Spirit is not going to contradict himself within you as it is within here. Our God is one, revealed in three persons, and specially revealed through his Word. So if overwhelmed and feeling insecure, choose God's will above your own. Choose God's way above your own. Choose God's wisdom above your own. And the more you choose God, the more you choose the Spirit's prodding within you, the more you will see God's presence and God's goodness despite whatever circumstances that you're going through. Now, let me tell you, I'm not saying it's easy, but it boils down to a simple choice. Am I going to rest? In other words, am I going to give up when I'm fighting against God? Or am I going to armor up and really try to fight back against God because I think I know better than God? When you choose to give up, when you choose to give in to God, when you choose God's present work in your life, his presence will be revealed. And so rest in God's presence by giving up your way, by trusting in his Word, by trusting in his will, by trusting in his ways, by trusting in his wisdom. And remember this, because of Jesus, the writer of Hebrews says this, you can with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, and you will receive mercy and you will find grace to help you in your time of need. Which brings us then to the third way that David rested in God. And in verses 5 through 7, David told himself God's promises. And he reminded himself of what God had promised him. So when you're isolated and overwhelmed, yes, God lead me. Yes, I'm going to rest in God's presence, but I need to be remembering God's promises, number 3. I need to be remembering God's promises. Here in verses 5 through 7, David reminds himself of what's called the Davidic covenant, that special covenant that God had given to David, a promise that God had given to David regarding his kingship and regarding his offspring. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let me just read you the highlights from that. It says, God promised David, I will raise you up an offspring after you who shall come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house after my name, that's Solomon. But then from there, he will establish the throne of this kingdom forever. My steadfast love will never depart from him. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. And then we come to Psalm 61, and you read, we won't read them again, but we read in verses 5 and 6 specifically and 7 specifically, David is just reiterating that covenant promise. And he's retelling himself and he's remembering exactly what God had promised him. Now, you and I know the fulfillment of this promise is Jesus Christ, right? Revelation chapter 11 says that the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ forever and ever. Hebrews 1 says that Jesus' throne is forever and ever. 2 Peter 2 says that the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is eternal and his throne is forever. And so there's ample evidence that shows that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment, but David doesn't know that. David doesn't know about Jesus. He knows about somebody in the future. David doesn't know or understand how God was going to keep his promise, and yet by faith, he remembers that promise and believes that God would be faithful to establish that covenant. You know, how often in life, we don't know how God is going to keep the promise that he made to us. We're simply tasked with trusting that God will keep his promise. Furthermore, I want you to see David, in verse number 5, is confident in the promise. He says, for, O God, you've heard my vows. You've given me the heritage. It's past tense. He's like, it's already done, David says. You've already given me this promise that I'm claiming, and it's as good as done. Remember, God's promises are sure. They're done. There's no question about it. God is going to fulfill. And so as David subjectively feels isolated and overwhelmed, and maybe there's even objectivity to it, he could be on the run for his life later in his kingship. David goes through some drastic isolation and overwhelm and depression later on in his kingship. So this could be at that moment. But whether that is subjective or objective, David centers himself on the promises of God. He brings himself back to a faithful living by the promises of God. Likewise, Christian, when you feel isolated and overwhelmed, whether that's real or whether that's perceived, you need to tell yourself God's promises. You need to tell yourself God's promises. You need to tell yourself God's promises. Okay? By the way, 6 and 7 are not the promises that you and I claim. We have a lot of promises. These are for David. But we have a multitude of promises that we can claim. In fact, the Bible tells us that every one of those promises finds its yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And so if you're not in Christ Jesus, these promises aren't offered to you. But for those of you who are in Christ Jesus, you can claim Hebrews 13, I will never leave you or forsake you. Romans 8 promises, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. 1 John chapter 2 promises eternal life for those who confess the Son. John 14 promises that Jesus will return to bring the faithful to himself. Hebrews 10 promises that God's faithfulness is going to be towards those who hold fast the confession of their faith. And then 1 John chapter 2 promises that when we are faithless, he is faithful. Matthew 11 promises rest and gentleness towards those who feel heavy laden and overlabored when they go to Jesus. James 1 promises wisdom for those who ask. Romans 8 promises good to those who love God and live out God's calling in their life. 1 John 1 promises forgiveness and cleansing when we confess our sin. 1 Peter 1 promises a divine nature, the Spirit within us, in order that we can escape the sinfulness in this world. I don't have to keep on sinning. And we also get all of those great and precious promises we learned in Philippians 1 promises that God will be the one who completes the work. It's not up to you. It's up to you submitting to God. 1 Thessalonians promises that God is faithful to do through you whatever he himself has called you to do. And listen, there are so many more promises of God. And when you're overwhelmed, it's so easy to get caught up in our own subjective thinking, our own thoughts, our own emotions. We need to be recentered on the objective promises of God that he's given to us as his new covenant saints. So when you're going through those feelings, you're going through those circumstances, what promise has God given you? What Christian principle for living has God given you? What biblical precept has God given? What do you need to tell yourself? What objective, factual truth that you can go, God, you said this. And that's where I'm finding my hope in. That's where I'm finding my help in. That's where I'm finding my rescue. And that's the rock that I'm standing on. Christian, when you feel all alone and isolated, tell yourself God's promises. And let me encourage you, don't wait until you feel isolated and overwhelmed to look for God's promises. Look for them now. Store them up now. Write them in a book. Put them in your pocket. Put them on a phone so that when those feelings start to come, when those emotions start to overtake you, you automatically have a place to go so that you already have the promises of God right before you. And then as you tell yourself God's promises, like David, you'll find yourself singing God's praise. For he is the one who lifted you up out of that despair, out of that depression. The fourth way that David rested in God's faithfulness as he felt isolated and overwhelmed is that he sung God's praise through his life. You should be singing God's praises. You should be singing God's praises. Verse number 8, so I will ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. Having reminded himself of God's promises, having reminded himself that God had appointed steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him, that God was going to be faithful to his covenant and keep his promises, David says, how can I keep from singing your praise as I do life? And verse 8 here functions not only as a conclusion, but also as a challenge. Because David says, I'm going to sing your praise, but I'm not just going to sing your praise when I'm in the worship service. No, he says, I'm going to sing my praise, I'm going to sing praises to your name when I'm doing my vows day after day. And when I'm doing my vows, I believe here that is in reference to he's doing his duties. What's he responsible to do on a daily basis? And so singing praise is not the primary act of verse 8. It's actually the attitude of the primary action. The primary action is as I perform my vows day after day, as I'm doing my daily duties, my daily responsibilities, what I have to get done, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be singing God's praise as I do those. And so David says, I'm going to keep on keeping on, but I'm going to change my attitude. My attitude now is one of praise rather than apathy or grumbling. I'm going to keep doing life day after day, and praise is going to be on my lips. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. When we're overwhelmed, when I'm overwhelmed, it is so natural and easy to give into grumbling and complaining. Maybe you're not like me. Okay. Maybe you've got it all under control. It's so easy to get grumpy, critical, or as my kids would say, salty. To have an attitude of entitlement, to be wrapped up in your own misery and become narcissistic. Oh yeah, we can keep doing all of the things that we have to do, right? We can keep putting on the show, so to speak, performing our duties, getting our responsibilities done, but they're done with the poorest of attitudes. How do you combat that? What's the answer to that? One word, praise. Praise. That's what David says. I'm going to praise. In the midst of my feelings of isolation, in the midst of my insecurities, in the midst of my overwhelm, I'm going to praise. David committed here to praise the name of the Lord as he did his day. Likewise, you too can sing God's praise as you do your day. The simplest way is literally to play God's praise on the loudspeaker, on the TV, on the stereo, as you do your day. Play the music that you enjoy, that you prefer, that's theologically sound and comforting to your soul. Let music direct your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength to the Lord. You can listen to God's word out loud. I've talked about this recently over and over, but this is significant. Man, get a Bible app and just push play as you go throughout your day. Let the word of God be in the background and the foreground as you do life. Play scripture out loud. You can practice praying without ceasing. That is to make it a habit of continuing a conversation with God as you go about your day. And as you go about your day, you keep praising his goodness as it is poured out upon you, praising his graces, seeking his wisdom, asking for his blessing and what your responsibilities are. Live your life focused on Christ. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on the things of God, on the hope of the grace of Christ within you, so that when you are blindsided by a death, and isolation and overwhelm consumes you, and we would say, maybe rightfully so, or you're forsaken by a friend or a close companion, or when you move to a new city, a new house, a new location, a new job, a new school, when you get that diagnosis, or even when you give in to self-loathing. And those feelings of isolation, those feelings of insecurity, of overwhelmed, you've already got the habit of praise going on in your life. You've already got the habit of reflecting on God's promises in your life. You've already got the habit of submitting to the Spirit's leading in your life. Oh, and certainly those feelings are still there. But now you have the tools to objectively deal with them. Now you have the resource that God has provided for you to help you through those feelings and to evaluate those feelings based upon what is objective and factual and eternally promised, based upon all of the mishmash and garbage that's going on in here. Church, in a sin-cursed world, there are going to be times when you feel isolated and overwhelmed. When those arise, when circumstances demonstrate your vulnerabilities, sing Psalm 61 to yourself. God is faithful. God is faithful even when you feel isolated and overwhelmed. He wants to lead you through his presence to his promises in order that you might sing his praises day after day. May we be a church who is singing God's faithfulness. Would you stand with me as I pray?